Good morning, I'm Kyle Omler with the guru Chris Molina, and you're listening to The Blitz. This is part two. We covered the first half already, and we are in the playoffs, so you better pay attention.
Come on.
Every time we're going to do this, you did it last year. I think you did it a year before.
Every time you say playoffs? But yeah,
you do sound like them, though, I got to admit.
A little bit. So, yeah, good stuff. Hopefully you guys are taking our advice and took it all year. Had that unfair advantage by listening to us, and now it's showing its rewards, you know?
Nick Foles is unreal.
Love him.
He has a streak that's amazing. He's about ready to break records. Then he throws an interception. Now he's starting a new streak. It's like, are you serious? What is going on
throwing?
Oh, he hasn't thrown one?
No, it was called 19? Back on a penalty.
Oh.
He's still 19-0, I believe. 19 touchdowns.
What's the record?
I think 20.
Oh, man. But 21? Now he's getting into a buzzsaw with Detroit and that defense who is just angry all the time.
Well, I'm going to – as Nick Foles progresses as a quarterback, I'm going to go back to it when I said he's going to – in what the, I think I said 3 years from the draft of last year, Nick Foles will be the second-best quarterback out of that draft class.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Andrew Luck.
Behind Andrew Luck, right.
Looking pretty smart. That was before he played a single NFL down.
Well, and it was. And then when he got into the games, and we were like, well, hello, this is just, look at his composure in the pocket. Look at him look down the field.
His decision-making and everything else. Guys throw 19 touchdowns and no interceptions. That doesn't happen by fluke.
No.
Franchise quarterbacks do that. And I think that's exactly what Nick Foles is going to be for the Philadelphia Eagles. Because he's, and they got to stop doing that stupid running play with him, too. They're going to get him killed. So keep him. He's a pocket passer with good mobility, just like Andrew Luck. Let him move around. Don't need to run him. Just let him throw the ball because he throws the ball great. Throws a good deep ball. Throws a good soft touch pass. He zings the ball to the outside. He's got good arm strength. He's big. He's smart. And he's going to blow it up against Detroit this week. I'm looking for 200-plus yards, 250, maybe 300 yards, because it's going to be a shootout. Three touchdowns. Going to probably throw his first pick or two this week because, like you said, Detroit's got a good defense because he's going to rush some throws. So, you know, Nick Foles, must start. LeSean McCoy, must start. Riley Cooper, got to get him in your lineup.
Really? Riley Cooper?
He's a good number three. If he's could be your number three. You know, I think this game is going to be one of those 35-31 games.
Against Detroit's defense, you think? Okay.
Detroit's defense is not that good. Look what Pittsburgh did to them.
Well, they're mean. That's the thing I always...
They're mean and they're cheaters, but they're not disciplined. They're not disciplined.
They are not disciplined.
They're going against speed.
They'll have third down and 10, and they'll stop them, and then the guy will punch somebody in the face.
Well,
oh, great. There goes the...
They gave up what? Pittsburgh went crazy on them. So... And I just don't like that defense. I don't like the defense. They had their big game. They're going to come in a little cocky and, you know, as they are. And, you know, what are they called? By the lineman from the Packers. But I like DeSean Jackson, although he's been quiet lately. I think he bounces back with a big game for everybody in the playoffs. He's helped you get here. And then he's simmered down the last 3-4 weeks because Foles spreads it around so much. But I like Cooper as a number three. I like DeSean Jackson as a number one, low-end number one. McCoy, of course. Foles, of course. Good fantasy options for Philly. Not sold on the tight ends because I don't know if it's going to be Celek or Ertz.
Who's it going to be, exactly?
Yeah, I'll let someone else figure it out. I wouldn't play either one of them. Detroit, question for you for Detroit.
Yeah.
I'll put this to you. Is Joik Bell a must-start?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Is he someone that's... Now, is he someone that should start?
I can't. No,
No?
No, only...
He's that wacky guy that's just like, you know, he got 20-something points last week.
Well, it's because they pulled Bush because they already had the game so wrapped up early, and then Bush comes out of the game.
They both
ran like crazy because Bush, they
said... Well, right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can't... I look at this one. If you don't have a number two or number three, or you need a flex player,
yes.
I'd play Bell. I would play Bell over Ray Rice.
Oh, gosh, yes. Because at least they're getting down there into scoring position. And I've never seen I've never seen a team get so close to the end zone so many times where they need to bring in their goal line back. It's ridiculous how Bush will run for 20 yards, but he'll get tackled at the 4.
Right.
And then here comes Joy Bell. Or Calvin Johnson.
And that's
will
what
catch
I'm saying. He could, this is the kind of game where he could score two touchdowns. I would play Joy Bell over to tandem in Cincinnati, either one of those guys.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm not playing him over, you know, no Sean Marino, but I'd play him over a lot of the middle of the road guys who are splitting time. I would absolutely play Bell over them. So
top of the splitting time list. Yes,
he's at the top of the splitting. He's at the top of the non-must starts.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Bush, of course, you're going to start. Now they're saying he's got a calf injury. Keep an eye on that. Let me put it this way: if for some reason Reggie Bush isn't playing in this game, Joyke Bell becomes a humongous must start.
Absolutely.
Okay. Or if Reggie Bush is a game time decision, believe me, they're not going to. You know, I would look to play Bell.
Absolutely. They wouldn't. They won't hesitate to put him in.
Right. They don't want. They're thinking long term here. You know, Detroit, and they got a pretty good game cushion, and I think they could beat the Eagles without Reggie Bush.
Joy Bell is a starting running back, like we've already said. If Bush wasn't there, I don't think they would miss too much, honestly.
No.
So they will be fine.
If you have Joy Bell on your team, keep an eye on the injury report. Watch, you know, the ESPN or NFL, see what they say. You know, it's a 1 o'clock game, so you got to make your decision quick. You know, see what they say about Reggie Bush. If they still talk about the calf and he's stretching it out, you know what? Bell's going to see a lot more carries in this game.
Well, we've said it before, too. There are occasions when they're both on the field and it's scary, I think. And they need to find ways of doing more of that. You know, there's no reason to have Joyke Bell sitting on the bench if you're in the NFL.
Yeah, I had Joyke Bell. I traded for him in the offseason. Third round pick, and I got him in our dynasty league that we're in together. And he's on all my teams, I'll just say that. Because I felt this guy, what I saw, we talked about him last year.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what I saw out of this guy. Boy, when they got Reggie Bush, boy, was I pissed off. Because I think Joyke Bell could be putting up Reggie Bush type numbers if Reggie Bush wasn't there. It was almost overkill when they got Reggie Bush. They didn't need him.
Right, but they had been so depleted at running back for so many years and had that position where it was like, we just need somebody to carry the ball to help out our passing game. I think you're right. I think they overcompensated. And we're
right.
Like, well, we're not going to trust Joyke Bell because he'll get hurt or something, and we need to have no fallback.
Exactly. And they figured it would help Calvin Johnson, and it did. He's been tremendous, of course. But, you know, again, it's, you know, but so keep an eye on that situation. Reggie Bush, if he gets a clean bill of health, obviously a must start. That's a Stafford in this game. As is Calvin Johnson. A lot of Nate Burleson owners who jumped on him on waivers are screwed at this point. Probably some of them played him hoping to get some big production late in the season out of a guy off waivers and probably cost him a playoff berth if they were, you know, put him in there. Stay away from him. Stay away from Durham. Stay away from Brandon Pettigrew. I'm playing Calvin Johnson. I'm starting Reggie Bush if he gets 100% clean bill of health. And he's going to play. I don't care if he's hurt. As long as he's playing, he's in your lineup. Stafford, and keep an eye on Joyke Bell, because I'm still playing Reggie Bush if he's hurt, but I'm definitely playing Joyke Bell if he's hurt too, because you're going to get less from Reggie Bush, more from Joyke Bell, and both are worthy of a lineup.
Steelers going against Miami. Now, both these teams, you know, the Steelers, they lost to Baltimore. They pretty much are... They're
done.
Just floundering. They're floundering. Miami, you know, the whole scandal that's going on down there. They're both playing for pride now, basically, both these teams.
Well, they're both technically, mathematically in it. And honestly, if Pittsburgh wins, Baltimore loses, and the Chargers lose, Pittsburgh's in the driver's seat. Because they would have a lot of the tiebreakers. And I think they have a tiebreaker over Baltimore, even because they split. So... it's more. Pittsburgh's got a lot to play for, as does. It's a playoff game for both teams. The hit on Le'Veon Bell, honestly, Kyle, I was actually scared. I mean, I'm serious, and seriously, I was actually genuinely thought there was severe damage done, because just the way everyone huddled around him, Ravens players were waving over on the Steelers medical staff. You could tell the guy wasn't moving.
I didn't see this game, so I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
Go It was one of the, and I haven't seen many of these.
Well, you know when the other team's flagging people in, it's like, okay.
And it, the helmet shot all the way through the – the ball just dropped. It didn't look as bad when they showed the replay, but when it first happened, you could see he, like his hands froze up.
So in fast motion, it looked devastating.
Fast motion, honestly, Kyle, I thought he got killed.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not even kidding. I told him, I felt something, my God, he's hurt bad. You know, we're watching the game, and I'm like, it was that – scary of a hit. So if you get a chance, watch.
I'm going to, as soon as we're done here, go check it out.
But, you know, text me. Let me know what you think of it if you see what I see. Le'Veon Bell, they're saying he's practicing, participating in practice. So he's a must start because there's such a poor run defense in Miami. So he's playing.
And they're going to lean on him a lot. That was the whole goal of drafting him in the first place, was to lean on this running game to help open up other stuff. Hurt early, and when he got hurt early, it totally screwed up the entire season for Pittsburgh.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger's been a nice fantasy surprise this year. He's been outperforming guys like Romo and Kaepernick and RG3 and Dalton and Luck. He's been outperforming a lot of those guys with a really decimated off. When I say decimated, decimated offensive line.
Well, Antonio Brown is a huge surprise.
Right. So really, in this game. Let me put it this way. All four of the five starting linemen for the Steelers left the game last week. One of them's – their backup center is now out for the year, so now they're on their third string center. They had to bring in two linemen just to have enough linemen to field linemen this week. That doesn't bode well for Roethlisberger. You know, just the timing's not going to be there. I could see a fumble snap in this game. But I'm still going to play Antonio Brown, must start. I'm going to play Le'Veon Bell if he's starting. And I'm going to play Roethlisberger, even though all of that. If I have a better option, I'd play McCown over him. I'd play Matt Ryan over Roethlisberger.
Matt Ryan even.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't like the matchup. I don't like the offensive line. I think I like Antonio Brown because he's going to want to show up Mike Wallace. Which is why I think Mike Wallace...
like he has all season long, you mean?
Right. Well, I think Mike Wallace has a huge game this week because he's going to want to show Pittsburgh, you didn't want to pay me? I'll stick it to you in this game. So I like Mike Wallace as a must start, as a low-end number two.
Really? A must start.
I don't like any of the running backs, and I like Charles Clay.
Yes, they love feeding it. Okay, what's going to happen to him next year when Keller comes back?
Yeah, Keller stinks.
Oh, you know, because I know this is a little off topic.
Go to the two tight end. Go to the two tight end set. It works a lot.
A little off topic, but you know, I thought about that a little bit earlier because I was like, you know what, for dynasty stakes, what's going to happen to this guy?
Keller, they're going to cut him.
Oh, cut him? You think?
Oh yeah.
I would. Why would they? Because they have no weapons there. They can use more weapons, right?
It depends how he comes back from his injury. I like the. The
Keller
matchup.
Was going to go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I loved him on that team. Clay is just a good weapon. He reminds me a lot of Marcell Reese.
Yeah, who was that guy in Washington, that tight end? What was his name before?
Chris Cooley.
He's Chris Cooley.
Yep.
That's who he is.
Yep. Yeah, just, you know, not overly imposing. You know, Delanie Walker, you know, that type of tight end. Just gets open. He's not going to get you 30 yards down the field.
Gets rushing yards for you, too.
Yeah, he gets goal line carries. So he's really somebody that, like a Marcell Reese.
He should have had a touchdown last week, too.
Yeah.
Did you see that atrocious pass?
Yeah. Yeah. Tannehill.
Fourth down, go for it. He's open. Yeah. What was
Tannehill could be a good start this week, too. I don't know if I'd have the stones to do it, but Pittsburgh's defense is just bad.
Yeah.
So not much going on in this game. And if you get a chance, watch the Le'Veon Bell hit.
Out of curiosity, who's even going to win this game, Pittsburgh or Miami?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, you think Pittsburgh? Wow.
They're home.
Well, you're
home.
Such a homer. You're such a homer.
You know, hey, look, I cut them up, like, you know, all year because they've been atrocious. I just think they're just a better team. They're home. They're still in it. Four extra days rest. I think there's a lot that they can do. It's going to be a high-scoring game, you know, 20-10, 20-17. You know, one of those type of things. But Pittsburgh's going to pull it out.
Tampa Bay, they're at home against the Buffalo Bills. They switched their quarterback out. They're not too much, but they do seems to be that whoever they put in at running back can run the ball. So is this the week he's going to bust out? He's had a couple rough games in a row.
Tough defense.
Yeah, exactly. Not his choice, but even last week he had a tough defense. He still got like almost 80 yards.
I like Bobby Rainey in this game as a low-end number two or flex player.
Okay, good. I'm going to flex him.
Yeah, I do like him.
That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear start him because I want to start him. I just need
Buffalo's defense is bad.
Needed to hear some confirmation from somebody else, you know.
Let me put that. Buffalo's defense is good going after the quarterback. You know, last week, I mean, it was a shootout. Who were they playing last week? But it was just a back-and-forth game. They were playing up in Toronto. Who were they playing in Toronto?
Isn't that bad that we can't even remember who the heck they played just a week ago?
Yeah, and I watched a bunch of
it. Hey, we move on. Well, you know, we're like defensive backs. That's behind us now. We got to move on and keep playing.
Exactly. So I like Vincent Jackson. He's been quiet lately. With Glennon. Glennon seems to spread the ball around, and they like to run the ball. And Taquan Underwood has stepped up. It's a nice, solid number two. Now I'm not playing him.
No.
Unless I'm desperate. But I can see Vincent Jackson having a huge game this week against the Bills. So I'm playing Rainey. I'm playing Vincent Jackson. Buffalo, you know, C.J. Spiller showed up last week. Maybe too little too late.
I don't know, man. Is he? Can you count on him?
I would count on Fred Jackson.
Man, that C.J. Spiller is just...
Oh, he's that home run hitter.
Yeah.
You know, he's that home run hitter. I would have more confidence if I had to play one of the two with Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
So I'm playing Fred Jackson as a flex player or number two running back. I would play Spiller as your number two running back. I'm not playing any of the wide receivers, but I'm going to put this out there to dynasty owners or people who keep rookies. The name Marquise Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
I think next year you're going to see this guy be their number one wide receiver.
Over Woods? Really?
Over Johnson. Yeah, I like what I see from the guy. You've heard it here.
See,
he's big.
I don't like to hear
fast.
That because I drafted Robert Woods in the rookie thing. See, you're supposed to not say stuff like that. Come
on,
keep
like...
some of these things.
He hadn't done anything, Woods. At least Goodwin's had some big games. Inconsistent, but that's what I'm saying. Next year, if you're in a dynasty league and you can make some trades in the offseason, get Goodwin. You're probably getting cheap. I would say go after Goodwin. I know I'm going to.
See, hopefully I was feeling good because I have Bobby Rainey, and you're like, yeah, he's going to have a great game. And then you're like, no, Robert Woods, he's not going to amount to anything probably. It's going to be good. And I'm like, oh, man, you brought me right back to reality.
Yep.
So mean.
And I'm pretty good at these predictions, so I would say, So you're really screwed.
Great. Washington is going against Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City, you know, they are just they are this close, I think, but maybe not quite. You had them going to the Super Bowl and winning it, but Denver seems to be making them, you know, their own little personal whipping boys.
Well, Kansas City can hang with them, but the Kansas City just doesn't have the firepower.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I still am not.
It's the receiving core, right? That's the problem. And the quarterback, they just can't throw.
They don't have a tight end. They don't have a tight end. Dwayne Bowe has regressed over the last couple years. I thought he would have a bang-up huge year. Donnie Avery, they didn't really – for a while there, they were figuring out how to use McCluster, and then they kind of came off of that. If it wasn't for Jamaal Charles, this is an anemic offense. But you know what? I mean, they're going to be the number five seed, a team that won two games last year. I'm not coming off of my Super Bowl prediction because – in their way will be Peyton Manning in the playoffs, who's been notorious flopper.
Yeah.
So I'm
their
not
receiving core, like you said, though, a bow aggressing, and that is really hurting everybody, I think, though, because if you look at Denver, I think they got three wide receivers better than any receiver that's on KC.
Yeah, I would have the team that, you know, and I think it's not just the receiver. I think Alex Smith is not going to get the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So what I didn't understand was why they didn't go after a tight end in the offseason, knowing the type of quarterback that you have. Because he had a really good rapport with Vernon Davis.
Well, they drafted that guy. Did they, again, overconfidence in themselves, thinking that this rookie coming in was going to be the answer?
Yeah. I don't know, but he didn't see the field.
No, he's not the answer.
You know, you got Fasano and McGrath. So in this game, Jamaal Charles is a must-start for Kansas City. I'm not playing anybody else in this game in the playoffs. I'm not comfortable with Dwayne Bowe. On the other end, I would play Alfred Morris as a number two running back. Mm-hmm. You know, disappointing this year, but not, you know, been solid, not yeah. great. Yeah. You know,
not going to lose it for him, but he's not going to win anything either. Right. So.
You know, I'd keep an eye on Jordan Reed, whether or not he's playing or not. If he's not, Paulson could be a possibility for you, but Garcon is somebody I would get in the lineup. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Standard format redraft league. Would you play, this is a really, you know, you're going to love this question, the Chiefs defense or the Bengals defense?
I'm starting the Chiefs defense.
Me too.
I have no faith in Washington. I mean, their quarterback has their daddy coming to the locker room.
Yeah.
That's not cool. Yeah. That's not cool at all.
And he said gonads on TV.
Did he?
He said, I got kicked in the gonads in his interview. I've never heard gonads said on TV. And after he said, he's like, I can say gonads.
Yeah, gonads
is not a bad word to say.
No, it's
but
not.
It's gonads. You don't say it on TV.
I got to look that up. See, so yeah. I got two things to look up now. No, I got to see the Le'Veon Bell
yeah,
thing.
And right.
Get my serious face on. Get my serious face on when I see that. And then I got to watch RG3 say gonads.
Yeah, you'll need to get lightened up a little bit when you hear gonads.
I can't believe someone probably has already made a mix of him saying gonads. Doing something.
Got it, yeah.
Arizona going against St. Louis. This could be a 3-6 game.
Both teams are scoring. Carson Palmer's playing pretty good. Larry Fitzgerald's picked it up the last couple weeks, getting some touchdowns. Michael Floyd, we were talking about, he's been a disappointment. He's been picking it up. He had a couple 100-yard games and then a 99-yard game last week. So 1 point from 100. I like those two. I like Fitzgerald as a must-start. I like Floyd as a low-end two, high-end three. I'm not touching the running back situation in the playoffs, and I'm not playing Carson Palmer in the playoffs. But the two wide receivers have stepped up, and I would say both of them are worthy of being in your lineup.
Oof, man, Fitzgerald's been so...
coming around now.
Oh, man.
I think he's coming around now. On the other end, oof.
So he's going to be like Roddy White. He's going to finish it off.
Finish it off strong.
Okay, all right.
You know, it's going to finish it off strong. I mean...
well, that's all that matters. If you got yourself into the playoffs at this point in time with somebody sitting on your bench like Larry Fitzgerald, and now he's turning it on at the end of the season, that means your team's pretty scary, obviously.
Well, right, exactly. So
they didn't kick you while you were down, and you made it into the playoffs anyways. Now you have Larry Fitz.
Well, exactly. So on the other end, you know, I'm going to put Zach Stacy in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Moderate production. I don't expect a big game out of him.
Because it's Arizona's defense?
It's Arizona's defense is good against the run. I'm not playing Tavon Austin, even though he's had some huge games, but he fell off the face of the earth again.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared Cook may be a possibility. If I have no other option as a tight end, I would play Jared Cook over the tight end in for the Browns.
Oh, yeah, right, Cameron, now. Really?
Cameron, yeah, I would at this point.
Boy, I don't know if I could even do that.
Yeah, just someone's got to catch the ball there. You know, Kellen Clemens, again, backup quarterback. He relies on his tight end, and you look.
I'm just looking at the Browns are playing New England, so maybe they'll fall far enough behind that somebody's got to catch it besides Gordon. That's the only thing I can think of. Is, you know, Cameron may get a lot of junk time at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not really happy about starting either of them, but.
Yeah, I would say that, if you look at since Kellen Clemens has come in, Jared Cook's numbers have gone up, and that's something we've talked about. When you see backup quarterbacks come in, they go to their security blanket, which is their tight end or their running or their you know short passes. So I still like that with Jared Cook, and I would say, you know, I'd be comfortable playing him over a Heath Miller, over Jordan Cameron, if you had Julius Thomas and he's not starting, and you're lucky enough to have Cook as your backup, I would play Cook. So, but other than that, there's not much going on that in this game.
Speaking of Julius Thomas, is he going to be ready when Denver goes against Tennessee?
Well, if he is, start him. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to go down the list. And I'm
so tired of them having late games.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, everybody that this is the must starts: Manning,
mm-hmm.
Moreno,
uh-huh.
Ball,
Thomas. You're starting even? Oh man.
Yeah, Thomas, Welker, and Decker. Play them all. Get him in your lineup. Mm. I mean, I'm not going in with him as my number one.
I would start Matt Prater, too.
Yeah. Well,
start the kicker
in there. And, you know, and you know what? The Broncos D, because they're going against Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a turnover machine. They're going to be from behind, so they're going to sick the dogs after him. So he's going to throw 2-3 picks in this game. So, yeah, this is going to be maybe one return for a touchdown. This is going to be an ugly game quick. I know Tennessee's got a good defense, but Peyton Manning's not going to have a letdown game. He never does. All his guys, you have to play him because you never know which one's going to have the big game. Like it was Decker last week. Before that, it was, you know, their running game and on and on and on. I'm comfortable playing Ball as a number two or number three running back or flex player. Moreno's a good number one running back, and all their receivers are solid number twos, so they all have to be in your lineup. And if Julius Thomas is playing, he's a must start.
Yeah.
On the other end, I like the fact that they're going to have to come from behind, so I like Kendall Wright. I like Delanie Walker if he's healthy. I don't like Chris Johnson in this game at all. They'll be behind.
They'll fall behind, yeah.
And they're going to not need him. And they just can't give him. They're not going to be able to give him the ball. So you're going to play him based on brand name alone. But, oh, if you get 5 points out of Chris Johnson, you're going to be lucky. Now you can break one, of course. I mean, I don't know if it's a crystal ball. But, you know, just by looking at the matchup and what's going to happen, I would say I would stay away from. If I have another option other than Chris Johnson, I would play it.
Exactly. Realize he's going to have a tough game. He's going to score low. If you have somebody else, put him in. Put somebody else in if you have the choice.
Yep.
You know, I'm the selfish, greedy, want to win and destroy everybody every week type owner. That's me. So I'm the one who's on the message board complaining that Peyton Manning's a selfish bastard and he won't leave anything, for the kickers on field goals because all he's got to do is score touchdowns all the time.
Right.
Drives me crazy because I prayed her and it's like, oh, really? He has to kick 5 extra points in the game?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't give him 1 field goal. That's why I get 5 points from Prater. Oh, I'm that guy. I'm already ahead by 100 points, and I don't care. I want to grind him into
points.
The ground.
Get as many points as you can.
Yeah, okay. We were saying earlier, when I start Phillip Rivers over Andrew Luck, and I was like, absolutely. Phillip Rivers is going against the Giants this week, and Rivers he's exploding. He's having a rebirth this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a little light lately, but, I mean, he's definitely playing a lot better.
Yeah.
Ryan Matthews is looking pretty good, and I think he's going to have a big game. He'd be a nice number two or number three running back this week, Ryan Matthews. Another guy I'd look at, Darius Green, the tight end.
Yeah, they're going against the sickly Giants, so.
Right, their defense is just not very good. I like Keenan Allen a lot. So there's a lot of fantasy value in the Chargers. Phillip Rivers is a must start. Get Ryan Matthews in your lineup. Woodhead has a possibility as a flex player.
Yeah, he's PPR catching the ball out of the backfield with that
course.
Guy.
Gates, Webb, or Green. If you're light on a tight end, or your tight ends, Julius Thomas or Jordan Cameron, I would consider playing with Darius Green this week. And Keenan Allen's a must start. He's their number one guy. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's real good.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's another situation I'm wondering about because what's going to happen to Danero Alexander when he comes back next year?
Cut
again? You think
guys
cut
come
this?
Back? Not, well, they don't need. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got Malcolm Floyd. You're going to bring back two
Malcolm Floyd
down wide receivers. I can see with the emergence of Ladarius Green and Antonio Gates being shown the door.
Yeah, I think though there. With Keenan Allen, that's one receiving option. Vincent Brown really hasn't exploded.
Yeah, he had a real opportunity to be the guy.
Yeah,
he hasn't
done anything, like you said. And Floyd's glass. He falls walking out of the locker room and breaks something. And so, I think they'll hang on to Danario Alexander. And,
I hope so. Because
they have to. Because they just need to. They need to just hope, right? They just need to hope that there's somebody else out there. If he doesn't work, but I could also see him drafting another wide receiver. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, Keenan Allen was a home run. I mean, that guy just looks good. He didn't drop nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Some value with the Giants. I'd be real leery to play Eli Manning this week, but I would play Andre Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Low-end number three, or number three is Ruben Randall. And I'd play Victor Cruz, but with caution. I mean, of the three receivers, I think I put more value on Ruben Randall.
Really?
Cruz has not done anything. When's the last time he scored a touchdown?
They have neither of those two receivers have done squat.
Reuben Randall's been the best receiver.
Squat.
He went a stretch of six games in a row or something with a touchdown. He had his worst game last week. He's due to have a bigger game this week.
These guys are the opposite of the Chicago receivers. You know, the Chicago receivers are dominant, big, huge, amazing. These guys are big, huge, horrible. I don't know what's going on with them this year. And
let's not classify Reuben Randall in there, though.
No, I didn't. No. I'm talking about Knicks and
Yeah.
There's no excuse for these guys.
Cruz got the money. He took the money and run.
What Knicks get? The attitude?
No, he's got. What did he call this week? This year, he's a free agent.
Well, that's going to help us. Okay.
Someone's still going to pay him. Someone who needs a wide receiver is going to pay him. So he will be, and you know, he's probably not really giving it his all like Mike Wallace did last year.
He looks like he's sandbagging it. Yes, that's a good comparison, actually. Like Mike Wallace.
Yep.
Don't want to get hurt. I'm going to get my big money coming up here.
He's out of it. We know we have a shot. I'm not going to give it all when we're not going to make a chance to make the playoffs.
What about Brandon Myers? What do you think of him?
Pass.
Okay.
Pass.
So last week, an anomaly.
Yes.
Don't worry. Don't worry about him having another decent
this
week.
This game's going to be high scoring. I like what I'm going to see from Reuben Randall this week. And Andre Brown. Those are the two guys for the Giants you're going to have. And there's going to be a lot of fantasy value on San Diego. San Diego could be in the 30s this game.
I can see that. Absolutely. San Francisco is going against Seattle. Seattle, they're all excited because they just destroyed the Saints on TV.
Nice.
But San Francisco now, they're getting their players back too.
Yeah.
They're getting their mojo. They're getting their players back. Kaepernick was struggling to have anybody help him out on that side. Now, with Crabtree coming back and having more options, Seattle going to be in a little bit of trouble here?
Well, this is going to be one of those knock them down, drag them out
fights.
It's
going to be a great game, yeah.
They don't like each other.
No, they really don't like each other at all.
It's in San Francisco, I believe.
Yes, it is. That does help their case.
Yeah, I'm not playing the quarterbacks in this game. I think these teams are going to want to set the tone by running the ball. And let me punch you, you hit me, I'll punch you, you hit me. And one of us eventually is going to fall. So I really like Gore in this game. And I really like Marshawn Lynch. Either one are great at stopping the run. These defenses are opportunistic. Like I said, Seattle's defense is a lot different at home than it is on the road. You know, so I like the running backs in this game. Again, as we've said, just about every single game this year, don't like any of the wide receivers on Seattle. San Francisco, I like Vernon Davis, and I like Crabtree to have a big game this week. I just think they're going to work him into the offense. Bolden's been a bust. Manningham never was great anyway, so I don't expect much fantasy out of him. But Crabtree, you know, I don't know if I'd want to play him until I've seen more. There's really no – it's do or die for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're struggling at wide receiver, I'd give him a shot. I'd give him a shot with confidence. So I would definitely look at Crabtree as a possibility. Is that number three, or if you have four wide receiver sets in your league, I would look at Crabtree. And let me go back to Golden Tate, same thing. Low-end number three, number four wide receiver if you had to play him.
Yeah, just inconsistency.
It could be Doug Baldwin 1 week or Zach Miller. Mm-hmm. I just think these teams are going to want to set the tone. They're going to want to show their bravado and their machismo and everything else they're going to want to show. And they're going to want to run Gore, and they're going to want to run Lynch. There's going to be a lot of second and eight, third.
How many
and
weeks
six.
Has it been this year, you think, total, that you said start only Marshawn Lynch?
Just about every week.
I mean, did you even say start Russell Wilson maybe once, though?
I mean,
every week it seemed like it was only, hey, Marshawn Lynch, don't start anybody else.
Well, we've liked Wilson, but he spreads it around so much, which good quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
You know, and 1 week it's going to be Golden Tate, another week Baldwin, you know. And it's not like, when we say another week, it's not like, well, I'll take the chance and get 80 yards and a touchdown, even though the other guy's going to blow it up. You're not getting that. Either you're going to get 100 yards and a touchdown or 30 yards.
Yeah.
You can't take that risk.
Can't do it. Not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs. So the best thing to do is find somebody more consistent and play him, you know, or someone like a Crabtree coming back from injury who they're going to want to be a big part of the game. You know, but you know what? But I would play Baldwin over Bolden right now. you know. And yeah, I tell you, Bolden.
Really?
Yeah, you know, and Bolden's going to be a big part of this game, catching short passes. He's going to be big on the third and fives, third and six plays, because he's not afraid to go over the middle against these guys. But he's not going to get a big productive game. He may have six catches, 50 yards. So I would stay away from Bolden in this game.
That's all of them.
Wow.
Every game this week. Yeah. Now, there's going to be half the crowd listening next to the next podcast because they're going to be gone. That's it. End of the season for them. Half of them are going to be excited. Well, you know, maybe maybe everybody who's listening are all going to win, though.
I would hope so. So, I think, you know, just some free advice. Hopefully you've taken it throughout the year. Now's the time. Like all the things we talked about for trading and making moves and not being afraid to sit the brand names. Well, now you got to do it. And, you know, takes a lot of guts. And hopefully you guys come out on the other end. So good luck this week.
That's right. But though you've had 13 weeks to look at it, there shouldn't be any surprises, right? Average it out. See what's going on. Stay with that hot hand, too. Look at who's look who's tearing it up. You know, you got Josh Gordon, who's being ridiculous. You got Alshon Jeffrey. These are guys that maybe they didn't, like you said, you didn't draft them to be starters on your team. Now they're starters on your team.
Yes.
Okay, don't be silly and sit out Sean Jeffrey this week.
You know, well, right. I would definitely, you know, not be afraid to make a move and play a guy who's been more consistent, who you've been afraid to play all year as he sat on your bench. Yeah, I would look to get him in now, especially at quarterback.
That's right. That's our advice, right? Come on, man. Be bold. Last, got nothing to lose.
Yep, you don't want a guy with 35 points sitting on your bench.
Absolutely. For Chris Bellina, the guru, I am Kyle Omler, and this has been The Blitz. Thanks for listening, guys.
Good night and good luck.